Hello and welcome to the FV English podcast, your one-stop shop for Venezuelan football in English, bringing you fortnightly episodes dedicated to the Venezuelan league, the national teams, and the myriad of Venezuelan players around the world.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a special, hopefully not too long, episode of the FV English podcast. This is Dominic Bisogno of FV English, and today I'm just going to be doing a quick rundown of five Venezuelan players playing at MLS that I think had notable years and or I think should be watched closely for 2022. So we're going to be running through how these five players did this just ending season with their respective clubs, for some of them potentially noting some international matches or bench appearances as well. And then I'll give my two cents on what this might mean for their 2022 and perhaps aspects of the player or moves for the player that people should keep an eye on. We're going to try and keep this on the short side, and hopefully this just provides a little extra entertainment during the holidays while we kind of put a pause on our usual podcast content. So we're going to go ahead and start with Christian Macun, youth captain for La Vinotinto. 21 years old as the recording of this, going to be 22 around the start of the next MLS season. The standout detail for Macun for me in terms of club play is how different his 2021 was from his 2020. Some listeners might recall that his 2020 was sort of a dark moment. Perhaps that sounds a little bit intense, but he only played four MLS games. A significant portion of that was before the pandemic started. And then he played three USL League One matches for Fort Lauderdale, which is essentially an affiliate team for Inter Miami. And, for Inter Miami, when he did play, was not starting, had very few minutes, and even in USL League One, had some okay performances, but at the end of the day was a largely forgettable loan spell at a level that was much lower than I think most people expected him to be playing. And so you end 2020 with this really high potential youth prospect not getting minutes, not playing at a high level, and there was certainly a lot of negativity around his future. And 2021 was so different. He played 26 MLS matches for Inter Miami this year, missing out on only 8 matches for various reasons, some of which on the bench and some of which out for international duty or other reasons, injuries. He played 2,023 minutes across those 26 matches. It was a sizable amount of game time. Was a starter for a significant portion of those matches as well. And he played as a center back and as a left back primarily. Did some rotation. And he does have some experience playing midfield for Inter Miami and also actually for Fort Lauderdale. He got 2 goals during that time, one being a penalty, the other resulting from a corner kick. And overall, it's a really positive statistical showing from still a very young player playing for a team that's still trying to kind of figure itself out. And I think that what we see from this is a level of maturity that an easier path might not have shown us from Macun. Seeing him get through 2020, come back stronger, having, you know, funny celebration, he had like a dinosaur T-Rex arm celebration for his second goal. Seeing him show a lot of character on the pitch, performing well as well, it's incredibly encouraging in my opinion. I do think that his overall fate as a player in MLS, of course, relies greatly on Inter Miami, who have been a volatile team in their own respect, getting in trouble for violating the DP rules that MLS has, which was well reported across the league. The league itself acknowledged that it did happen. But, you know, they've gone past that drama in most respects. They still have a lot of great players, the Higuain brothers. Federico Higuain is retiring, but he's played with the Higuain brothers. Matuidi, you know, lots of talent from all over the world. I think that certainly helps him learn as a player. But, you know, how Inter Miami look in the next season is certainly not yet determined, and how he fits into that is not yet determined. But I do think, again, 2021, we saw a young player who's very capable of playing at a very solid level within MLS. I fully expect him to be involved in the match day squad week in, week out for Inter Miami. And I actually think that it is smart for him to stay put, continue this experiment, continue to see where it goes. I don't think he needs to leave. I think at the end of 2020, there was conversation about, does Macoun need to go somewhere else? Does he perhaps need to return to South America? You know, does he need to try to get him somewhere else in MLS? I think at the time those conversations were warranted, but now I think the opposite is true. And I think he should very much stay at Miami, continue this project, and show what a more mature, you know, physically mature Macoun looks like. What does a 22, 23-year-old Macoun look like? That's an exciting prospect for me. We're going to go ahead and move on to a player that was talked about quite a bit in the offseason leading up to the 2021 season, but it did feel like, and I think even Fave English maybe did not talk about him as much as we should have, but a player that kind of left the headlines a little bit for reasons that I'm not quite sure about, and that's Daniel Pereira, 21, as well as the recording of this episode, turning 22, of course, during the upcoming season. Chosen in the Super Draft by Austin FC, the expansion team, which means they're a new team in MLS. And first South American to be picked as number one in the Super Draft, is my understanding. One of the first foreign-born players to be picked. Now, I don't believe he was the first, but one of the first. Typically, Americans are picked in the top spots in the Super Draft. Played 25 matches for Austin this season, 1,555 minutes, very specific number, but had really strong showings for them, played a couple different positions through the midfield, typically sort of a center mid, slightly defensive mid sort of player. Did have some minutes in a more aggressive position as well, or attacking position perhaps, and showed a lot of potential. The team had a reasonable record with him, 9 wins, 1 draw, 12 losses while he played, 3 draws, 6 losses when he did not play. So the team did not win when he did not play. And of course, the context behind a lot of those numbers, none of which maybe sound amazing, is the fact that Austin FC, again, is an expansion team. Expansion teams almost always struggle their first year. You can see that with Cincinnati, Minnesota United, Orlando City. Lots of expansion teams tend to have rough first seasons. Most teams are not like Atlanta United, where they almost win everything right away. So with that context, I think it's a really strong start for him. The fact that he's landed somewhere where he's an essential player, he's playing consistently, he's playing well, that's such a huge boost for him. It's a huge payoff for, you know, him taking the risk of going down this path to become a professional footballer. It's a difficult, complicated path. And he's expected to stay at Austin. I think that's a good idea. I think expansion teams are actually a really good place for draft picks to stay, because expansion teams often really value those draft picks because they're still trying to build the roster out. That can often be a 3-4-5 year process. I expect he'll still play a lot next year if he stays. And I think that he can only get better, but at the same time, it's showing a lot of potential. Again, the team seems significantly better with him. That's a big compliment for a player straight out of college. You have to keep in mind, this means that this was his first season as a professional. And that's always a big step. I've seen while watching MLS over the years, including watching Minnesota United, the closest team to where I live, I've seen a lot of college players really struggle to make that jump. So again, very impressive that he has not struggled to do that. And I think he's a person to really keep an eye on. And, you know, who knows, perhaps one day this is a player that we're talking about for national team minutes. That's obviously down the road. But at the same time, I don't think that's a silly thing to bring up, because this is a clearly talented midfielder who's playing at a level that is good enough to get, you know, Junior Moreno minutes with La Pinatinto. So if DC United is good enough, you know, shouldn't Austin FC be good enough? So we'll see how the team develops in 2022, but I think there's a lot of promise for him there, and I think that he should remain a player that we keep an eye on for years and years to come. Another player that really impressed me this year, and impressed Jordan, I know, as well this year, who coincidentally also was making his professional debut, was Wikelman Carmona, who is 18 going 19 as the recording of this episode. Similar data in some respects to Daniel, despite playing a very different position, but 25 MLS appearances, 5 USL Championship appearances while he was essentially on loan to New York Red Bulls too. With the first team in MLS, he has 1 MLS goal, 2 assists. The goal was amazing, and New York Red Bulls are still posting various forms of it, animations and replays in the off season, because it was an absolute banger, as they say, and showed a lot of potential. Obviously, 1 goal, 2 assists is not the greatest set of numbers for a forward player who is making consistent appearances. But again, so young, so new to the professional game, the fact that he was able to log over 1,200 minutes in an MLS, get some goal involvements, help his team make the playoffs, that to me is a huge reflection of his potential and maturity, I would add, mental maturity. On the note of maturity, 0 yellow cards in MLS, 0 yellow cards, 25 games, over 1,200 minutes. That is a really positive showing, again, to me, of where the mindset of this player is. The fact that Carmona can be playing for a team that at times was very physical, very intense, fighting for the playoffs, playing a lot of minutes for that team, and essentially never get in the ill wills of the referee, I think is a really good reflection of what he brings to the table. He's clearly not a finished product. Again, he's 18. But there is so clearly the right ingredients to form a great player in Carmona. And I really think if he gets another, I would say, 2 seasons in MLS, I would assume with New York Red Bulls, we could really have a special player here who has the potential then to make a leap, perhaps to Europe, perhaps to another Red Bull team. That's sort of the expected moves that good New York Red Bulls players are supposed to have. Caden Clark is an American player at New York Red Bulls who's expected to be making that transition. I think that those 2 more seasons in MLS with this team developing, and the Red Bulls are expected to have a much better 22 than they had of 2021, I really think that we could have a player that's ready to make a significant jump and make that jump, and he'll probably only be 2021. And so again, it becomes, we still don't even know what this guy looks like in his prime, because his prime is another 4 or 5 years away. So really impressive. I hope that, you know, sometimes when players get this active at a young age, there can be negative sides to that. I hope that that does not happen. He's in pretty good hands. The Red Bulls have a very good reputation in terms of player development. And I'm really excited to see what 2022 looks like for him. He's already essentially become a starter for the team. What can he do once it's not his debut year? And maybe some of those nerves are gone. A little more confidence. He's got a goal or two. And should be also an interesting preseason for him. Be very curious to see what kind of minutes is he getting. Is he still starting? Do the Rebels kind of make some moves? They've already made some moves in the offseason that lead to perhaps him playing less or starting less, at least. These are questions that are out there. But even if Carmona is not starting every game in 2022, that would not worry me, because this is a project for me. This is a player who needs time either way, and a player who realistically should be at the team another couple years. So, you know, there's a lot of pathways for him to take at the Red Bulls, but I think they all generally lead in a positive direction. And again, so impressive to see a player with no professional experience jump into a very competitive side, get into the MLS playoffs, get a goal and a couple assists in his pocket. I really think that there's a special player in the works here. He's not there yet. He's not going to be there for a while. But I do think that with patience, we could have a really special piece for Venezuelan football developing here in New York. Next player I'm going to talk about is also on the East Coast of the United States, although a bit of a drive away. And that's Jesus Bueno. That's Chuchu. 22 years old, playing for the Philadelphia Union. Joined about mid-year from Deportivo Lara. And, you know, this is a player that has not played much for his new team. He played 25 minutes in the regular season and 25 minutes in the playoffs, which admittedly is not a lot to go on. So I can appreciate there might be an eye roll or two about trying to have in-depth conversation about his MLS career. But I'm very positive about the direction that this transfer is going in for the player and for the team. Philadelphia has so much talent and focus on their midfield. Of course, Brujo Martinez has a bit part of that that maybe our listeners will be more familiar with, but you know, there's so many other pieces in the Philadelphia roster that are all about quality in and around the midfield. The fact that he is going to be around those players, learning, he's already done that this year, he's going to be doing it again in 2022, learning from the Martinez's, the Bedoya's, I really think that there's the potential for him to find a leap in his quality with this move. I think he's going to play a lot more in 2022. I would have folks every now and then message me and sort of say, oh, I heard he's finally playing now, or I heard he's not playing now through the season. And my opinion on all of that has been that this move was more about 2022 than it ever was about 2021. They had such a set midfield for 2021 that there was never a chance that he was going to be regularly starting any games or making significant appearances. But I do think that Philadelphia's midfield is on the older side, and they clearly are thinking in the future. They're clearly thinking about 2022, and I think that's the year that Bueno was going to shine. I think that by the first 10 games of the season, of 2022 season, I think he makes his first start for the Philadelphia Union. I think he makes his first start for the Philadelphia Union within the first 10 games. And I think he makes at least two substitution appearances along the way in those first 10 games. And then from there, assuming things go well, which I'm sure they will, he continues to develop into a regular face of that team. So I'm very positive about the direction he's going. And he, of course, was such a fantastic piece for Lara. And the team, I'm sure, will struggle to fill the empty space he left. But I think there's so much potential at the Union when you see how perfectly that team has gelled with Brujo Martinez. That's clearly a team that has a great midfielder culture, and perhaps we could even say a culture that is welcoming to South American players. And I think that's a really good place for Bueno to be. So I know he didn't play much this year, and that's going to mean people are going to be hesitant to really say anything about him. But I genuinely think that this is going to be a bigger piece for the Union in 2022. I think we're going to see a lot more of him, and I'm really excited to see a lot more of him. Final person we're going to talk about is a person that played a lot more than Jesus Bueno did this year, although he was not technically a regular starter. And that's Pablo Bonilla, 22 years old as well, plays for the Portland Timbers, of course, who were MLS Cup finalists this year, lost on penalties to NYCFC. Bonilla made 18 appearances this season for just over 1,300 minutes. Made one assist, actually, in his first game of the season. Four yellow cards. Played largely right back, a little bit of left back through the season. And the team had a slightly better record when he was on the bench, admittedly. The team was 7-2-9 win, draw, loss with him, 8-1-4 without him. So it was back and forth. The team was certainly not horrible with him, and they did get a lot of points. But there was a slight increase in form for the overall squad when Van Ranken, who is the first choice right back, was starting. I think Bonilla is in a slightly complicated position with all that in mind. Not a bad situation, but simply a little more of a complicated situation than some of the other players I brought up. I think he's clearly a very talented player. I think there is a lot to like about being the second choice right back for the runner-up MLS, the runner-ups of MLS Cup. I don't think that's a bad place to be. I think that's a really solid place to be when you're 22 and you just joined MLS, your second year in the league. I do think that he's going to pretty soon need to find a place where he's going to be a starter. He's getting to that point where he's not under 21 anymore. He's not a teenager anymore. You're going to need to be a starter where you are if you want to, you know, have active ambition with the growth of your career. And I do wonder what that means in terms of whether he stays at the Timbers or not. It would be great if he did, because it's a very successful club. It's a very well-run club. And I think he could certainly grow into a great player at the Timbers, but you know, it's always going to be a point during the year where at least two or three MLS teams are going to want a change of right back or left back. And so perhaps that plays into, you know, his situation. We'll have to see what Savarese wants to do with the back line at the Timbers. Still a lot of time in the off season, so that's not completely clear. But if Bonilla is going to start, then I think by all means, the Timbers should be his home. You know, I think if he can get minutes, consistent minutes, we can see the Bonilla that shined at the 2019 U20 South American Championship, where he started all 9 games for the Vino Tinto. And, you know, we can see the Bonilla that shined at times even in Liga Footway to a certain degree for La Guaira, but he only played a couple matches for them, but more so for Portuguesa. You know, where he had some really solid numbers, 2018-2019, still young, but playing for a team that was not always very successful, but he was a bright star in that side. And I think that there's a way for him to find that form again and be a driving force for a side, but he's going to have to find the right home. He's going to have to find a team that, you know, really wants to get him on the pitch. So we'll see if that's Portland this year. I hope it is. But perhaps it won't be. And again, it comes down to what is he going to be able to do in competition with Jose Carlos Van Ranken, who is the current starter at right back for Portland. Is that a battle that Bonilla is going to start to be able to win? And that's something we're going to have to wait and see. Again, as I mentioned with some of the other players, perhaps a question we'll start to have answered in preseason. But we'll have to wait and see. So I'm going to end it there and hope that there was some lessons to be learned about those 5 players. That, again, was Christian Mokun, Daniel Pereira, Vitomen Carmona, Jesus Bueno, and Pablo Bonilla. 5 Venezuelans, all under the age of 25, or the age of 23, perhaps, is the more notable marker. Playing in MLS, several of them as starters, some of them as not. And they're all players that I think 2022 could be a big year for. They're all players that I think people should be paying attention for the future of Venezuelan football, for the future of, you know, candidates for La Vino Tinto, the future for players that could potentially move to bigger teams. And I certainly hope that they give us the 2022 that I believe they can. If you want to have help keeping track of all that, I certainly suggest following us at Footvey English on Twitter, because I promise that we will be talking about how all of them are doing week to week, month to month, day to day, as this upcoming MLS season starts. So thank you for listening. Appreciate your time. And make sure to, you know, stay involved and stay connected to Venezuelan football. That's our mission at Foot for English, and we hope that's your mission as well.